Egzamin maturalny z języka angielskiego. Poziom rozszerzony. Usłyszysz dwukrotnie teksty do zadań od pierwszego do trzeciego. Przed wysłuchaniem każdego tekstu usłyszysz dźwięk. W nagraniu przewidziane są przerwy na zapoznanie się z poleceniami oraz treścią zadań, sygnalizowane dźwiękiem. Rozwiązuj poszczególne zadania w trakcie słuchania nagrań oraz w czasie przerw po ich wysłuchaniu. Zadanie pierwsze. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania do tekstu pierwszego.
One.
I can't bear this hot desking system they've introduced in our company. It's so frustrating. I'm never sure where I'll be sitting. Do you feel the same?
To be honest, I don't mind it. I love the fact that I can choose any available desk. I'm sure you'll get used to it.
Oh, I'm not so sure. The first-come, first-served system really annoys me. When I want to work at a certain desk, I have to arrive at work early, not to get the work done, but to get the desk I want. In my opinion, they should introduce some kind of booking system. It's so irritating when someone asks a colleague who arrives early to save a seat for them.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
I can't bear this hot desking system they've introduced in our company. It's so frustrating. I'm never sure where I'll be sitting. Do you feel the same?
To be honest, I don't mind it. I love the fact that I can choose any available desk. I'm sure you'll get used to it.
Oh, I'm not so sure. The first-come, first-served system really annoys me. When I want to work at a certain desk, I have to arrive at work early. Not to get the work done, but to get the desk I want. In my opinion, they should introduce some kind of booking system. It's so irritating when someone asks a colleague who arrives early to save a seat for them.
Zapoznaj się z treścią zadania do tekstu drugiego.
Two.
When Louisiana police were informed that bags of stolen cash totaling over $60,000 had been hidden by thieves in a river, officers were sent to search for the money. The task was difficult because some beavers had built a dam across the river, creating a deep pool of water. The police began to take the dam apart to lower the water level. To their surprise, they discovered lots of $100 banknotes mixed in with branches, grass, and leaves. Apparently, the clever animals had found the bags of money, torn them open, and used the banknotes in the same way as leaves. Officers worked until midnight to recover the cash and then dried the banknotes in a clothes dryer. The beavers repaired the dam by morning, and the thieves were eventually caught.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
When Louisiana police were informed that bags of stolen cash totaling over $60,000 had been hidden by thieves in a river, officers were sent to search for the money. The task was difficult because some beavers had built a dam across the river, creating a deep pool of water. The police began to take the dam apart to lower the water level. To their surprise, they discovered lots of $100 banknotes mixed in with branches, grass, and leaves. Apparently, the clever animals had found the bags of money, torn them open, and used the banknotes in the same way as leaves. Officers worked until midnight to recover the cash and then dried the banknotes in a clothes dryer. The beavers repaired the dam by morning, and the thieves were eventually caught.
Zapoznaj się z treścią zadania do tekstu trzeciego.
Three. Known around the world as an emblem of Los Angeles and an icon of the movie industry, the Hollywood sign has its origins in the year 1923. This was when Harry Chandler, the publisher of the Los Angeles Times, provided funds for constructing a spectacular sign on the side of a hill called Mount Lee. It was meant to be just temporary, and its purpose was to advertise homes in a newly built neighborhood called Hollywoodland. The name on the sign was later shortened to Hollywood. The sign became so recognizable that the original plan to take it down after some time was cancelled, and it stayed there for good. The size of the sign is much bigger than it seems when we see it in the movies. Each letter measures about 15 meters in height and is almost 9 meters wide. In the past, the letters also flashed at night. Change came in 1933, as it was getting costly to power the light bulbs, and the decision was made to turn them off. Since then, the sign has been illuminated only occasionally. In 1973, the sign was declared a Los Angeles Historic Cultural Monument and received a facelift, which unfortunately didn't include any structural maintenance. By the late 1970s, the sign had deteriorated beyond repair, and funds had to be raised to completely rebuild it and make it more resistant to wind and rain. A new sign was installed in the same location, with each letter built to the same dimensions as the original. That's the sign which is still there today. Although you can view the Hollywood sign round the clock via a webcam, millions of visitors decide to climb the hill every year to see it up close. There are several hiking trails, and it's possible to get a good view of the sign from a variety of spots leading up to it, but it's more common and much more convenient to admire it from further down the hill. You can capture a perfect image of the iconic sign as you are walking up, so don't miss the opportunity of getting a really good shot. If you decide to head for the top of Mount Lee, it's a pleasant walk which will take you about an hour with appropriate footwear. The sign itself is fenced off, so bear in mind that you won't be able to touch it. There are plenty of security measures, including cameras on top of the sign, and there is also a speaker system used by the police in case of emergency.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Known around the world as an emblem of Los Angeles and an icon of the movie industry, the Hollywood sign has its origins in the year 1923. This was when Harry Chandler, the publisher of the Los Angeles Times, provided funds for constructing a spectacular sign on the side of a hill called Mount Lee. It was meant to be just temporary, and its purpose was to advertise homes in a newly built neighborhood called Hollywoodland. The name on the sign was later shortened to Hollywood. The sign became so recognisable that the original plan to take it down after some time was cancelled, and it stayed there for good. The size of the sign is much bigger than it seems when we see it in the movies. Each letter measures about 15 metres in height and is almost 9 metres wide. In the past, the letters also flashed at night. Change came in 1933 as it was getting costly to power the light bulbs, and the decision was made to turn them off. Since then, the sign has been illuminated only occasionally. In 1973, the sign was declared a Los Angeles Historic Cultural Monument and received a facelift, which unfortunately didn't include any structural maintenance. By the late 1970s, the sign had deteriorated beyond repair and funds had to be raised to completely rebuild it and make it more resistant to wind and rain. A new sign was installed in the same location, with each letter built to the same dimensions as the original. That's the sign which is still there today. Although you can view the Hollywood sign round the clock via a webcam, millions of visitors decide to climb the hill every year to see it up close. There are several hiking trails, and it's possible to get a good view of the sign from a variety of spots leading up to it, but it's more common and much more convenient to admire it from further down the hill. You can capture a perfect image of the iconic sign as you are walking up, so don't miss the opportunity of getting a really good shot. If you decide to head for the top of Mount Lee, it's a pleasant walk which will take you about an hour with appropriate footwear. The sign itself is fenced off, so bear in mind that you won't be able to touch it. There are plenty of security measures, including cameras on top of the sign, and there is also a speaker system used by the police in case of emergency.
Zadanie drugie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
One.
On a cold, windy day in January 1969, the Beatles stepped out onto the rooftop of a building in central London and began one of the most legendary live performances ever. The idea for the concert was born while a film crew was making a documentary about the band, who were recording their last album. It was decided that the film should end with a live rooftop performance. Shortly after it started, in response to over 30 complaints about the noise, the police arrived and the band were forced to stop playing. As the event had not been announced to the public, and the internet age was still to come, not many people managed to witness the band make history. Those lucky few who did will cherish the memory forever.
Two. It was the 3rd of June, 2002. Brian May, the lead guitarist of the band Queen, was due to perform a concert in celebration of the Golden Jubilee of Queen Elizabeth II. It was decided he would do something out of the ordinary. He gave an amazing guitar performance of the national anthem, God Save the Queen, on the roof of Buckingham Palace. While playing high above the city, he was accompanied by an orchestra far below. The event was broadcast live to millions around the world. Afterwards, May said that while he was up on the roof, he felt as if he were on the edge of a cliff, and now he would never be afraid of anything again. Three.
On a chilly evening in February 2012, the Irish band U2 took to the roof of the BBC building in London to sing their best-known hits and some new songs, much to the delight of the people gathered below. The BBC reported that there were as many as 5,000 onlookers. The police had to close a number of streets and divert traffic, as masses of fans turned up and started dancing, clapping and singing along. The band's performance reminded fans of the occasion more than 20 years before when U2 played on the rooftop of a Los Angeles store.
Four. During Queen Elizabeth II's Diamond Jubilee in 2012, Buckingham Palace was transformed by some very clever lighting and amazing visuals. It was all thanks to the London band called Madness. The band climbed up to the roof of the royal residence to sing some of their hits, and their performance was accompanied by a spectacular light show. Thousands of people watching the event from the comfort of their homes took to social media to congratulate the band on their amazing performance. The British monarch spent a few minutes talking to the band after they had finished playing and come down from the roof. The Queen said she was pleasantly surprised that things had worked out so well. Five.
The opening of the O2 Arena in London was a game-changing moment for the British live events industry. Among the many key musical events the arena has hosted so far was a Bon Jovi concert on its roof in 2010. Reaching the top of the structure proved to be a challenge for the musicians, who had to be helped by trained mountaineers. The band performed their songs in windy weather on a temporary stage located in the middle of the domed roof. From the opening chords to the final fireworks display, the concert was amazing.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
1.
On a cold, windy day in January 1969, the Beatles stepped out onto the rooftop of a building in central London and began one of the most legendary live performances ever. The idea for the concert was born while a film crew was making a documentary about the band, who were recording their last album. It was decided that the film should end with a live rooftop performance. Shortly after it started, in response to over 30 complaints about the noise, the police arrived and the band were forced to stop playing. As the event had not been announced to the public, and the internet age was still to come, not many people managed to witness the band make history. Those lucky few who did will cherish the memory forever.
Two. It was the 3rd of June 2002. Brian May, the lead guitarist of the band Queen, was due to perform a concert in celebration of the Golden Jubilee of Queen Elizabeth II. It was decided he would do something out of the ordinary. He gave an amazing guitar performance of the national anthem God Save the Queen on the roof of Buckingham Palace. While playing high above the city, he was accompanied by an orchestra far below. The event was broadcast live to millions around the world. Afterwards, May said that while he was up on the roof, he felt as if he were on the edge of a cliff, and now he would never be afraid of anything again. Three.
On a chilly evening in February 2012, the Irish band U2 took to the roof of the BBC building in London to sing their best-known hits and some new songs, much to the delight of the people gathered below. The BBC reported that there were as many as 5,000 onlookers. The police had to close a number of streets and divert traffic, as masses of fans turned up and started dancing, clapping and singing along. The band's performance reminded fans of the occasion more than 20 years before when U2 played on the rooftop of a Los Angeles store.
Four. During Queen Elizabeth II's Diamond Jubilee in 2012, Buckingham Palace was transformed by some very clever lighting and amazing visuals. It was all thanks to the London band called Madness. The band climbed up to the roof of the royal residence to sing some of their hits, and their performance was accompanied by a spectacular light show. Thousands of people watching the event from the comfort of their homes took to social media to congratulate the band on their amazing performance. The British monarch spent a few minutes talking to the band after they had finished playing and come down from the roof. The Queen said she was pleasantly surprised that things had worked out so well. Five.
The opening of the O2 Arena in London was a game-changing moment for the British live events industry. Among the many key musical events the arena has hosted so far was a Bon Jovi concert on its roof in 2010. Reaching the top of the structure proved to be a challenge for the musicians, who had to be helped by trained mountaineers. The band performed their songs in windy weather on a temporary stage located in the middle of the domed roof. From the opening chords to the final fireworks display, the concert was amazing.
Zadanie trzecie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
The Great Knaresborough Bed Race is one of the most extraordinary community events in the UK. This fun competition involves almost everybody in the town of Knaresborough and every year attracts thousands of visitors on the second Saturday in June. The race has been taking place in Knaresborough since 1966. It has maintained its popularity over the last 60 years and has inspired other bed races, both in the UK and around the world. The idea is to raise money for charity while putting on a superb spectacle. Each team consists of six runners and a passenger who is pushed on a bed. Before the participants set off on the 2.4-mile race, there is a contest for the best-dressed bed. The day starts in the morning at Knaresborough Castle, where the teams decorate their beds and put on funny costumes. The judging of the Best Dressed Bed contest starts at 10:30 a.m. and the result is usually announced around midday. Then the team start marching through the town in a parade led by the winner. When the parade is over, the decorations are removed and the teams change into racing kit. The race itself kicks off at 3 p.m. and the teams set off at roughly 10-second intervals. The fastest teams complete the course in under 13 minutes as a rule, with the slowest taking twice as long. The race takes the participants through Parkland, up to the castle and marketplace. Then the route goes down to the River Nid. The final challenge for runners, passengers and beds is to get across it. Although the river is not very wide, this section of the race is the most demanding. The biggest problem is that the river is usually icy cold, so getting to the other side is quite a test of endurance for the participants. It also has steep banks, so it's not easy to push the beds into and out of the river. Nowadays, around 90 teams compete in the event. Many participants are the grandchildren of those who started this fun race, and this fact makes it particularly appealing to local people.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
The Great Knaresborough Bed Race is one of the most extraordinary community events in the UK. This fun competition involves almost everybody in the town of Knaresborough and every year attracts thousands of visitors on the second Saturday in June. The race has been taking place in Knaresborough since 1966. It has maintained its popularity over the last 60 years and has inspired other bed races, both in the UK and around the world. The idea is to raise money for charity while putting on a superb spectacle. Each team consists of six runners and a passenger who is pushed on a bed. Before the participants set off on the 2.4-mile race, there is a contest for the best-dressed bed. The day starts in the morning at Knaresborough Castle, where the teams decorate their beds and put on funny costumes. The judging of the Best Dressed Bed contest starts at 10:30 a.m. and the result is usually announced around midday. Then the teams start marching through the town in a parade led by the winner. When the parade is over, the decorations are removed and the teams change into racing kit. The race itself kicks off at 3 p.m. and the teams set off at roughly 10-second intervals. The fastest teams complete the course in under 13 minutes as a rule, with the slowest taking twice as long. The race takes the participants through Parkland, up to the castle and marketplace. Then the route goes down to the River Nid. The final challenge for runners, passengers and beds is to get across it. Although the river is not very wide, this section of the race is the most demanding. The biggest problem is that the river is usually icy cold, so getting to the other side is quite a test of endurance for the participants. It also has steep banks, so it's not easy to push the beds into and out of the river. Nowadays, around 90 teams compete in the event. Many participants are the grandchildren of those who started this fun race, and this fact makes it particularly appealing to local people.
Czas przeznaczony na tę część egzaminu minął.